Welcome to Law in the Bush, a regional, rural, remote podcast by the University of New England's Law School.
Welcome to Law in the Bush. I'm Lisa Ward, your host, and today we're speaking with Associate Professor Guy Charlton. Welcome to the show, Guy.
It's nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You have been involved in something called the First People's Rights and Law Centre at UNE. Can you tell us a bit about that, and is it a new initiative?
I arrived here from Auckland University of Technology a couple of years ago. At that time, Michael Adams and his colleagues at UNE were talking about having a research center solely devoted to Indigenous issues. As part of that process, we established the center to create a network of individuals interested in Indigenous law, as well as a mechanism in which to undertake research in sort of an interdisciplinary way.
What sort of researchers do you work with, or would you be open to working with?
The center is not just focused on the Indigenous or Aboriginal experience in Australia. We're interested more generally in the Asia Pacific area. My personal experience, I practiced law as a tribal attorney in the United States, and that's where I got into Indigenous law and Native American Indigenous legal issues. We work mainly with lawyers. We've worked with anthropologists, linguists, political scientists, sociologists. The idea is the Indigenous experience in general is not reducible to just doctrinal research in the law, but rather has a broader range of implications and things that we talk about.
Now, you've worked on something, excuse my pronunciation, I always stumble over this word, usufructuary rights. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. My specialty is in usufructuary rights, which are hunting, fishing, and gathering rights that attach to the land. And I've done a lot of research on usufructuary rights in New Zealand, Australia, Canada, and the United States, basically the settler colonies. One of the ways that we're using the center is to leverage on that sort of context that I have doing that usufructuary work. That allows us a venue into looking at culture, aspects of language, and self-determination and Indigenous governance. From that perspective, that's how I look at usufructuary rights and how I've used it with the center.
So it's not just for Australian First Peoples, you said.
What we're doing is looking at a broader Asia-Pacific experience. One of the things that I found is that a lot of the issues and a lot of the questions that Indigenous folks have actually are similar. Of course, everybody's situation is unique. Unique histories, unique people, unique cultures. But at the same time, the factors that confront Indigenous people and issues relating to rights are pretty much the same. One of the things that the center is seeking to do is to share this commonality of experience and to say, well, this issue, it's a heavy issue here in Australia, but for instance, it's already been done in another jurisdiction like Canada or Taiwan, for instance.
What do you hope will be the outcome of this research? Would it have an effect on policy, governmental policy, or on social justice, or what type of things could it affect?
I think the research that you do has to have ultimately some practical importance. But that being said, this research that comes out of the center, you look to do certain things that actually can improve the law and policy on the ground. The other aspect of it, of course, is that if you look at a policy and law at a more abstract level or at a comparative level with other countries, you can see theoretical difficulties or practical difficulties that, when they're further investigated, can lead to elaboration of new approaches to particular issues with Indigenous people and human rights more generally. One of the things that we don't really think about when we talk about First Peoples and Indigenous people and Aboriginals here in Australia is that there are human rights issues that underlie the issues that are Indigenous issues, and that to the extent that Indigenous issues are sort of a canary in a coal mine, that the treatment of Indigenous peoples relates to the overall treatment of approach towards human rights more generally.
Do you find that where it's been solved in one area, then that can be built on to come to a solution in another area?
In terms of policy, for instance, there's lots of issues here in Australia and Western Australia regarding co-management of resources that have come out of the Nugger settlement. Those issues of co-management are live issues here in Australia. However, there's various models of coal management that have been done in other countries that may or may not be applicable here in Australia. The idea is take that experience that's in other countries with other tribes, other Indigenous people, maybe here in Australia, and see what works within a particular context.
You're listening to Law in the Bush, a law research series about regional, rural, remote law by the University of New England.
To further that knowledge, you recently held a seminar on First Peoples' rights that was attended by international researchers.
Yeah, last year the center was involved in an international webinar, 10-part series, which we were able to do despite COVID, with the University of Hawaii, National Chenshi University, and UCLA, among others. And it was titled Indigenous Peoples' Heritage, Landscape in the Asia Pacific, Knowledge Co-Production, Policy Change, and Empowerment. And this webinar series, every week we brought together a group of anthropologists, lawyers, political scientists, as well as community activists across the Asia Pacific. We had people who were on the ground in the Philippines, for instance, or in New Zealand. And then they shared their experience in a conversational way about what they're doing and the challenges they face. And then at the same time, academics, both lawyers and in other fields, anthropology, sociology, which talk from their perspective. So it was really useful exercise. And we hope to do it again this year.
That sounds very exciting. You've got a link. Is it on YouTube?
Yeah, there's a link on YouTube. You can watch this webinar. It's been on YouTube and it's on Facebook. It was on Facebook as it was going as well over the last year.
We can put a link up to that at the bottom of this episode.
Yes, we can. Yes.
That'd be exciting.
Yeah.
And a link to the First Peoples Rights and Law Center UNE.
Yes, we have a webpage and we post various things that are coming up. And what we're going to do with the center is now that COVID seems to be easing and we can do some other things, we'll be increasing our activity over the next year.
And do you have any PhD or master's students that are involved in the center?
The center was formed at the onset of COVID. And we've had some inquiries. Of course, we welcome postgraduate students to work with the center, with myself and Marcel Burns. We're looking for students, and if you're interested in that, please contact me.
What about collaborators, researchers who'd like to work with you? Would they contact you directly?
Right. They can contact me directly. What we're doing with the center and the next one of the projects we're going to be doing this year is we're going to be contacting scholars in any number of fields, not just lawyers, who want to be associated with the center. We'll have research associates with the center that we hope to have a whole series of individuals who, if you're interested, for instance, in doing this work, you can go to the webpage of the center and you can look up people who might be doing the same thing you're doing. I'd like to have the center become a clearinghouse for information and sharing research and collaboration across the Asia Pacific.
That's so exciting. Mm. Thank you, Associate Professor Guy Charton, for being with us today and discussing that. And we'll put up some links. And thank you for listening to Law in the Bush.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We want to hear from you. Please fill out our survey in the link below.